Good evening, and welcome to Talk Truth Radio with your host, Dr. Rain Morgan. Dr. Rain Morgan is Mother Earth, and you can look forward to the next 3 hours of enlightening talk. What are the issues? More importantly, what are the solutions? We hold the torch. Together we stand. Now join Dr. Rain and this evening's guests. Open your mind and have a good time.
Good evening. Welcome to Talk Truth Radio. I am your host this evening. I'm Dr. Rain Morgan. I think we have a wonderful show for you. I have to let all of you folks out there in radio land understand this. I have to let you know right now that we're going to be talking about some subjects this evening that I do not know a whole lot about. Usually I'm very well versed on the things that we talk about, but not this evening. We have very, very special guests this evening. I'm very honored to have with us this evening Dr. Raja Merkdov and his wonderful partner, Professor Moira, Lady of the Sun Dove. These two very special people are coming on tonight to talk about some very timely and absolutely life-altering, will stretch and move your consciousness into another place. We're going to be talking about ET Mission of Light. We will be talking about Theosophy. We'll be talking about the Knights Templar, the Masons, and Peace on Earth. And I just read that exactly the way it went over the waves tonight to let everybody know that these two wonderful people were joining me on the show. Good evening to both of you, Star Doves. I'm honored to have you.
Good evening.
And good evening indeed.
Oh, this is going to be so fun. I've been waiting to do this show. And you probably heard me say that these are subjects that I don't know a whole lot about, so I'm really going to be depending on the two of you and my website and the things that I've printed out to guide me along. First thing that I want to talk about, I really would like to talk first with Professor Moira. This is a wonderful time in your life, Professor. And I would like to have you tell our listeners, what are your next plans? Where are you going from here?
Well, I'm very happy to be together with you tonight. I was
Thank
just
you.
Told about this a few minutes ago.
Oh.
I'm always ready to talk with one of my beautiful friends since I met you so many times ago. But
yeah. Do you remember when we met?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes,
at first,
I met you at the event.
Yeah, but then I realized we were together in a beautiful time sometime. Now, is there the question that you want me to talk about, or?
Yes, there is. I want to know where you are going in your life now, what your plans are. I know that you are involved with the ET Mission of Light. And
yes.
I want to know where you are in your life right now and with these things that are going on. What do you see happening on our Earth now?
Well, there are some things that are not pleasant, but there are things that are pleasant. But when we pray, we pray about the things that are beautiful for the planet. And whatever is happening, we talk about love and compassion, freedom, and beautiful, loving memories about the planet and the galaxy. And the future of the planet, And let's not talk about the wars, but just think about love and compassion.
Yes. And the solutions.
Yes.
Yes, the solutions. Where do you see our Earth heading now? I know that to most of the people out there, it would seem that things are difficult, but there are those of us that know these things have to happen. What do you see Earth becoming?
As my background that I'm talking to is the Holy Mother. I work and talk to the Holy Mother, and I know that what she's doing now for the planet has been so many hundreds, thousands of years ago. But I always talk with her and know her and tell her that there may be peace and love on everywhere we go, and if we pray that everything should be fine and happy and joyful, that there should be no wars, that there be peace and love, and the love that comes from the heart of every being, especially the women, because there is that beauty of love and compassion that we share with every being that we meet. So wherever we are made to go, we know that there is so much work to do for the planet and the galaxy and the whole universe and the whole omniverse. So there should be no fear for death or the different things that stop the people from doing what they like to do. If we are able to do that, then let us talk about, let us think of the beauty of love and compassion and freedom and peace and love. That everybody.
You know, go ahead.
Yes.
I was just going to say that you're talking about the very things that I wanted to do the whole show, to base our whole show on, and that isn't exactly what the problems are. It's good to let people know that there are these issues, but it's more to stay focused on the solution and that we create our magnetic field. Each and every one of us, our own personal being, is created in love. That's what you're saying, yes?
Yes. And loving is a spontaneous giving without expecting anything in return. So we give and give and give, but we do not expect, because we are sharing our love, our hearts, for every being without being angry, but being compassionate. And my background was theosophy, and theo means God, and sophia means wisdom, which is the wisdom of the gods. And everybody is a god, because we have love in our hearts. And when we love, we share, and we're always happy and joyful. There is nothing negative that should take place between especially a couple who have been working together. But then we do not just think of ourselves, but we think of other beings on the planet who are doing the same things, but we share our love and compassion, and we become joyful and happy. And then every day when I'm always awakened at 5 o'clock in the morning, every day I'm awakened at 5 o'clock, exactly at 5 o'clock, and I wake up and I say, thank you and blessings, O Goddess God of the universe. Let there be peace on earth. And let it begin with me. So if it begins with me and I share it with my partner, who is my twin flame, then he knows what I mean. And then when we write, when we talk, when we write poems, we talk about beauty and compassion and love and wisdom and joy for everybody, that there be peace in the world. and let it begin with us, because love is a spontaneous giving.
Professor, what do you say to people that are going through difficult times? How do you tell them to stay in that love?
Well, I tell them that everything that happens has a meaning, and let us not cry, or let us not be anxious, or let us not be sad that things happen, because everything that happens has a meaning. And after anything happens, let us give thanks to the beautiful Holy Mother and the masters and teachers and angels. I always know that in my heart and in our room, before I go to sleep and I look up at the ceiling, and I tell Dr. Raja, my angels are there now. If there anything that my angels can do for you, and let us then tell them, and they will help us, and they are on around the ceiling. If there are so many things that we have to do, there are so many angels there that can help, that there be peace in the world, and let it begin with us in our heart. Because if there is the planting of love and compassion, the whole world will be beautiful, beautiful, beautifully healed, and there will be love and compassion, and there is always a giving without expecting anything in return.
That's a difficult place for some to be, isn't it? Not expecting anything. I have practiced at that, and I have said, let me give everything I have and let me do the very most that I can and not expect anything in return. And I've given and given in tremendous amounts, and it didn't come back the way I thought it should. And I have found myself in that place where it's very difficult to expect nothing.
Well, what I believe is that if I give and give, that is, I plant and plant, and then actually when you plant something, you water the plant, and then it grows and bears flowers and bears fruit. But we do not expect it, but it still comes, because our love from our heart is the most important thing in life. That when there is love, there is hope, and there is joy and compassion. And that is how I treat my beautiful loving being that I'm living with, because our love.
I know him. I do. I know him. He's been letting you do all the talking, hasn't he?
No, I'm letting him now do the writing, and then when he has some questions, he asks me, and then
yeah.
I tell him. He knows my answer is, because I have studied from theosophy, and Theo means God, and Sophia means wisdom, and that is what I call the wisdom of God.
Well, I want to just take a break here for 1 minute and remind you that we are sponsored by Dr. Sandra Rose Michael, and she is the innovator of Energy Enhancement System, and you can go to the website, check out Scalar Energy. You can bring this into your home now, and it's a phenomenal way to change your physical body, to heal the things that ail you and move on in consciousness. So you can go to EESsystem.com, EnergyEnhancementSystem.com. And I would also like to mention Fate Magazine, the oldest paranormal magazine in the United States, Fate Magazine, and you can go to their website, Fate mag.com. Wonderful, wonderful magazine. They have people's from all over the world telling their paranormal stories and what happened in their lives, sharing their stories with you. So it's fatemag.com. And Dr. Raja, are you there?
Yes, I am there, and I'm just marveling and want to congratulate you on your two wonderful sponsors that you have.
I know, they're good, aren't they?
Yes.
makes me feel like I'm the big time.
That you are, absolutely.
Yeah, that's it. Well, listen, I want to talk more about the two of you, and in case folk out there listening to us don't know about this, Stardubs, how many addresses, and these are addresses that people have asked to be, they're not taken to be on, they're not taken from, you know, lists of studies that are done, the names on your list that you email to are participating people in this list, and it is the who's who of the metaphysical, if you will, the more enlightening types of products and systems and all kinds of things, books, music that go across your email. You are the e-net advertising to the new age, if you will, knowing that there is no real new age. It's the new age world. How long, I want you to just tell us about this. How long have you been doing this?
Just about 10 years now.
Takes a while to build that kind of list, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely. It certainly does. Yes, indeed. It was a novel idea when it started, and we had, like you, we had some wonderful sponsors that continued to egg us on no matter what, and we stayed with it even when all was lost at several times out in the wilderness with the ship being wrecked upon the rocky waters and waves, and yet there were those backers behind us who said, "It's all right, keep on no matter what," and paying for it, thus we could continue to do it. We were able to amass a very large collection of emails, and then we began with a novel idea of having a list ring and having groups of website addresses and large New Age networks and big shows, international New Age expos and expositions and New Living and New Life shows on the East and West Coast, and lots of different groups, the Light Party, the Global Peace Foundation, and the Ascension Network, and the One Spirit Network, and a lot of these different networks joining us. We reached our peak of 1 million about 2 weeks ago, and it broke the bank, more or less. It was just too much for all of our networking systems and piggybacks to handle. And now we're back in the with hundreds of thousands of readers.
Wow. It was just too many. Are you going to be able to get those names back?
Yes, absolutely. The names are still there. It's just a matter of administering it and being able to clean the list and keep everything going at a very high peak.
I can only imagine how much work this is, Raj. This is huge.
Oh, it's become almost like a very large angel, I would like to call it, like a baby angel that requires constant and immediate attention.
How many people do you have working?
Pardon?
How many people do you have working with you?
I would say around a dozen people all around the world, doing various types of staff work for us, technologically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, if there's anybody out there that doesn't know, if you're not on the Stardust email list, please get on it. Raj, will you give the email address for people to get on and get on your regular mailing list?
Thank you. I would be more than happy to. They just need to send an email to on@stardoves.com. And we will be
on,
very
O-N,
at Stardove, that's StarDoves.com, on@StarDoves.com. And the website for that is MarketingWithTheStars.com. And that's
Marketing with the Stars.
The stars, you can look at that like Hollywood stars and Academy Awards, and you can also look at it like the highest of the high stars in the heavens above us.
Well, I am so
Rain Morgan.
I am so thrilled to hear that you hit a million names. I remember back 2 years ago when both of you joined me in the No Nonsense Prophecy Conference. I believe you were up somewhere around 55. Something like that, and I was just talking to some friends of mine the other day, and I said, I wonder, you know, how many they're up to now. And I was telling another friend of mine, she actually did my website, www.drrainmorgan.com. She did my website, and I said to her, you need to put something across Stardoves and let people know that you're out there and that you do the fantastical, the wonderful websites and kinds of websites that, you know, people in our world want to be able to do. And I said, go to Stardoves. Go. You can't get a bigger seeing eye than what these folks have. So I think it's wonderful what you're doing.
It's a lot of fun, and it's really like a blessing. And now we have an allied group of workers with us in websites, probably numbering in maybe 50 or so, quality groups. And we get lists every day or every weekly of 1,000, 10,000, 15,000, sometimes even as many as 100,000 in one swipe, with groups of people who also have been collecting addresses on the Internet for 10 years or more. And in exchange for that, we help them to market their work, and then the list is transferred over in a legitimate way through Internet protocol, which we must all adhere to these days, as everyone knows.
Sure.
And in particular, this one is that out of a list of maybe 100,000 loyal subscribers, a person will email them, and with the same enthusiasm that you've just enlisted, tell them all about our list and what we've done for them. And maybe out of 100,000, maybe 20 or 30,000 will agree to go on our list.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but the administering of these lists and keeping these names and keeping everybody happy and on and off when they want is a monumental effort. And so we're constantly looking for the greatest and easiest technologies to take care of all this. And alongside that, we also administer lists for other New Age groups who have contributed their list to our list and have found that what we've done for them is excellent, but they also want us to administer their list that isn't a part of our list, because we send out quite a bit. And so we're also administering daily other lists. And so it's not just something that we can walk away from now. It's an angel that has blessed the earth, and it's truly blessing. It's a voice for the New Age to get out there. You know, we can mention, I think, the work that MoveOn.org has done in the political arena has been terrific. And we see the work that Stardoves is doing for the New Age light worker to be of a similar vein. And having a voice out there, I know they had about 2,000 or 3,000, and now they've gone big national television coverage as well as Internet coverage. Where at one time when people talked about MoveOn.org on TV, they would do it in disdain, as if, oh, this upstart group that, even though they've got millions or billions now on the, you know, they think they can actually influence policy, and they'd be laugh at them. But now they are influencing policy, and it's become
a matter. Absolutely.
And this is the same with the light waves, the true energy of light, would be actually does, of course, direct the affairs of the earth now, but when it does so consciously, then we'll be able to catch up on all the different levels. And that's the work of light waves being constantly beamed out. That's what we call the Stardove's email list, is light waves. And what it does is it allows the greatest and the best, the stars of the internet, of the universe, to communicate their life's work, their mission, their love, their passion to as many readers as possible who will stay on the internet eagerly awaiting these emails. And you would never know how many people out there with computers are eagerly sitting there every day awaiting to see what comes across Stardove's network that day, knowing that what it is, even though it's a lot. You know, we send 5 a day, every day, every single day except Sunday.
I look at every single one. I open them all. I see what interests me, what I want to know about, and the rest I let go. There's always something that I want to know about. And, you know, as I nailed you today, we have people guesting on our show because I found them across Stardove. And speaking of political, Raj, you know Dr. David, he is booked and coming on our show, and you will be receiving something from him. Just spoke with him today. You'll be receiving something with him to put out across the waves through Stardove about his show with me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm excited.
Yes, his website is lightparty.com.
Yes.
He's the official, the real and true president of the United States of Light on the inner planes. He's like a combination of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Beethoven.
Well, if you remember, Raj, when I did the event, I handed out a paper to everyone there, giving them the names and the contacts of the third parties, and asking that they get a hold of all of these parties and say, we have to come together under one umbrella. From what I'm looking at, you know, Raj, I'm not a spring chicken anymore either, and I've been doing this kind of radio for some time, and as many people as I've talked to and what I've looked at, it looks to me on this earth what really has to happen is a third party has to come together. You know, yes, we have differences, but we all have a common thread. And we've got to get pulled together under one umbrella. I see it as the true Armageddon.
Yes, well, you know, our extraterrestrial friends constantly are having us do is we have a different reality than what the realities are portrayed on the televisions and the newspapers. We won't say radios. The radio doesn't really, well, I suppose it certainly does seek to mold our life forms, but the television especially catches a lot of life streams, or earthlings, let's say, out there that watch it, and it tries to mold them, mold their vote and the way they think about life and what they're supposed to do with their life. And that's the same with the earthlings' educational systems, their marketing programs, the malls that they go to, the shopping centers. And in the third world countries, they don't even have all of that. But they still are consumers. They still watch something, and they have a politician they vote for. And what are the extraterrestrials are beginning to intercede, bring forth for us after all these 3 decades of being with us intently and channeling through and giving so many programs, including an Operation Liftoff, where they were going to take everybody off and clean up the planet and bring them back. What they're doing now is they're seeding on the higher planes with the help of the light workers for the whole earth in various ways. The new reality, the new heaven and the new earth is being seeded as we speak. And those of us who have had it and who are ready for it and who have been sent here to help it along or who are destined to inherit it are all working towards bringing that about on certain levels and realities. And one day we'll all awaken and the presidents of the countries will war no more. There'll be people that we will love and celebrate, and we can't wait to see them come on the common tube, television, or whatever. We'll say, oh, here's our beloved leader who we love so much. They're so wise. They're taking care of us. We love them so much. All across the world, this will begin to happen, and people will begin to love one another and lay down their arms. And so that's the only reason we're left here on this earth. There's nothing here except for that reality to be firmly planted, seeded, and sprouted.
You know, Raj, I think there'd be a lot of questions from lots of callers, and let's give the phone number to have you people call in if you would like to ask questions in the United States. Call us toll free 877-270-8714. And if you're in Canada, call us at 888-861-3519. Okay, Raj, I want to back up here a little bit because what we're going to talk about is the ET mission of light, the ET mission of light. You know, there's been stories and records and sightings and everything for so many years now and in every country in the world. And they keep this hidden from us that there is anything real, that any of the extraterrestrials are here, that there's any sort of a plan. And if there is a plan, it is to take us all hostage, to cook us and eat us. Remember Solvent Green? That was just, I will never forget that movie. There are so many stories out there. Clear some of this up for us, will you?
Well, I would be very happy to in my humble little way. And along with that, we can throw into the pot the poor little Masons and the Knights Templars.
We'll get to them too.
They were also crucified. And the Theosophists and all the bringers of light and the truth and even the Kundalini, even in the poor little serpent that came to bring higher knowledge, it was crucified. And basically, we have a system out there that is dominating, like a pro football team. Is in the offense, and they're winning, and they're beating the other team at every possible angle. They're catching all the catches, they're making all the blocks, they've got all the wise plans, while the other team is just getting slaughtered. But deep within another team is a seed, a truth, a certain knowledge that they also have what it takes to get the ball back and to win the game. And they have help. The problem is the other team has been listening to their help. They've been getting guidance from forces beyond the earth. And that power has been controlling the negative forces so that the game has been fixed. So they're bound to win because no matter what, you know, goodness just doesn't have a chance to exercise its muscle yet. Goodness.
And Raj, why is that? Why is there this great plan to hold the earth in these things that come through the darkness, the dark side? What's the point in all this?
Well, that's things I've wondered and prayed about and not sure that I have all the right answers to myself. And that would just, these are great classes for answers and situations for wonderful times for philosophy. But the short answer to that that we know from the extraterrestrials is that the earth more or less fell from grace because it was the general consensus to let things just sort of get out of shape, just like you see the country now. They say that the people want this and want that, but the politicians are doing something else. They say the people do not want war, but the politicians are making them do it, and they're in control of the military.
Right.
So you could wonder yourself, you could say, well, who's controlling what? Why are things this way if we don't want it that way? Now, these are questions that don't necessarily need to be the answers to these things don't necessarily need to be known before we know the real central truth, which is that goodness, truth, love, and light are the most powerful, and they're the righteous, and they will overcome. They will overcome all things. You know, all the true prophets and all the religions have said that from the beginning of time. And they've also let people know that all this was going to go down. This is going to happen. It's not as if the great loving ones that love us so much has planned this for us. It is that the life as it is has gotten so out of shape because of the experiment of free will and the experiment of DNA on this planet to make the human being a certain type of being. In their stage of evolution and growth, like a child, as a parent, when you tell your child, well, why can't I touch the match? And because it burns you. Well, why does it burn you? You know, you can get to the, you just get to the point when you know, all right, now you're a child and you're just going through a learning process. And that's more or less what's happening with the Earth. Only it's a wayward child, and it's been there before. It's even grown up before and had to go back down and start over again. That's the situation.
Now, are you talking about Atlantis?
Yes, Atlantis, reincarnation, as far as individual selves are concerned, and continuing to come back to the same chain and round of evolution and karmic responsibilities in a certain life form for however many life forms. It's not just 100 years. It could be 100 lifetimes of 100 years each. These are just things that boggles the mind. But if we bring back our focus, you know, we could also look at what the Buddha and other teachers teach us, and that's to drop all of these concepts. But that's not our mission. You know, we know we're here working with extraterrestrials on a mission of light. There's no doubt about it, and we're not going to drop all of these different realities and go into various levels of meditation. But we have done that to make sure that we're on the right path, to make sure that our truth was real for us. We've dropped all concepts. We've gone through the mill where we're doing this mission on this planet for 20 years, talking to people about beings of goodness and light here to help us, and we've been laughed off of stages, poo-pooed off of them. You know, we've had people in high power in places, city managers in places. Get those people off the stage! How could they be talking about extraterrestrials? Who do they think we are, nuts? And I can remember, like, oh, Lord, you know, if we didn't know who we were, we would feel so small on this planet. How dare we talk about such idiotic things at a time when the world needs the truth so much?
Have you seen extraterrestrials?
Yes, absolutely. There are all kinds of extraterrestrials. We ourselves, including yourself and all beings, are composed of multidimensional layers of realities, including extraterrestrials in other dimensions.
Okay. Now, explain that. How could I be an extraterrestrial?
Well, if you were to go into a deep meditation, you could take yourself and your soul back to the various levels of dimensions of your being. You would find all the various levels from tadpole to wolf, monkey to angel, into extraterrestrials, to beings living in other dimensions, other realities, and other planets. And yet, here you are on the Earth living as Dr. Rain Morgan, and whatever your name was when you were born, and yet you've gone through and you've metamorphed into various levels of beings here on Earth, but there are other levels of your being that have far more meaning to your soul that earthlings are not aware of.
Why do you say far more meaning than the one that we're doing right here? Because I have to tell you that this one can seem really difficult. And if it's so difficult, it just must be the most important, don't you think?
Well, it is if you're in that consciousness. What I mean by that really is that when you're aware of your other levels of being, when you're aware that you're an angel and a being of light, that has more meaning for you than it does as a struggling human trying to figure out who and what you are. And there are many.
Yeah.
The larva stage, the cocoon stage, and all of the religions that the earth has had set for millennia are also, you know, to feed them along their way until they've grown and developed along a certain path. And then the trouble with all the earthlings and the teachers and the Ayatollah Khomeinis and the Jerry Falwells and the Pat Robertsons and the people like this that curse other religions and are ready to bear arms and go to war and stamp out the other side because their God must be the only God of truth. Those are religions that are still for the struggling ego, the struggling entity. And they're struggling for meaning. What's the true meaning of life? Whereas when you already know all of that, that life is much more a deeper meaning because they're aware of all these truths. That life actually directs other lives. And if you really got into what the Age of Aquarius was about, the time when peace on Earth is coming, you would eventually find contact with this higher aspect. It's also a biblical prophecy. He who shall lose his life for my sake shall surely find it. And he who shall give up his life for another will find truth of who they are. And this leads to immortality. There are actual beings who the final enemy to conquer is death. So
then we're talking about ascension.
Yes, and then we'll know all the various levels of our being. And sometimes we may think that extraterrestrials look human, but perhaps maybe the most evolved, beautiful extraterrestrial of all might look like a butterfly or a dragonfly or some being unimaginable by the mind of man. But there they are living somewhere in total peace, and light, and love, and harmony. You know,
I've had glimpses of a body that I'm very sure that this physical body that I live in isn't the one that I've always had and isn't the way it looks on all levels. And I've had glimpses of a body that is very much butterfly-like with great wings that are 25 feet long. My body seems to look the same, but I have the feeling that I can morph. I can shapeshift, if you will, and take my body with me and visit all sorts of different dimensions. So interesting that you bring that up because I definitely have seen that body. I'm aware of wings and that I might pass into that body should I choose to pass from this one. Although I have to tell you, Raj, I'm really looking forward to taking this body with me. I'd like to find a way to stop the aging process completely and rebalance everything that ails me and just, you know, continue on like I am and then finally take the body with me. I think that would be a good way to go.
I believe when I was talking with you, you said it's funny that I said it. It may have been funny, but it was also telepathically directed because I was searching for what to say there and I projected my third eye towards your area. And I believe that's what I saw. And now I know why I saw that, because
very cool.
The guys were directing me to show me, since we were talking about that, what one of your bodies looks like in another dimension. And I saw this large, beautiful butterfly.
And I love that.
I noticed on your website that it says that Dr. Rain Morgan is Mother Earth. And
yes.
I thought, that's a wonderful truth. Because, and just think, Mother Earth, what kind of entity Mother Earth is.
Well, you know, she does everything she can using whatever tool is put in her hand, no matter how small or how great, to help raise the consciousness of those living on her body.
She's very loving, isn't she?
Yes, she is. And she loves even when she has had so many great wrongs done to her. She still comes back and loves and says, let's start all over. Let's do it again. Let's pick up with whatever we have left and let's find a way to put it back together and let's start over again. And she holds no grievance. She holds no grudges. She simply loves.
And that's, I know, the feminine energy, which I'm not the best one to speak of, even though I let the feminine inside of me be balanced with my masculine. The feminine
yes.
persuasion is what will heal in this age of Aquarius.
I want to talk about 2012, Raj. You know, here's another subject that there are so very many different people out there talking about and giving explanations of ascension and 2012. Tell me what you think about 2012.
Well, 2012 has come about primarily from the Mayan tradition, and it has to do with also Aztec and others as well, even Tibetan. It has to do in Hopi. It has to do with the end of an age, and a new age will begin. And some say, well, 2012 is the end of the Mayan calendar, which in Aztec calendar, and some say that means it's the end of the earth. No, it's not. It's the end of that calendar, and it's the beginning of a new era. The dawning of, in another lingo, would be the dawning of the age of Aquarius, when peace will guide the planet, and love will steer the stars. And it's also a time in the Mayan time when the Pleiadians will return. And also the time when the various Nibiru beings will come back, which is a plan to immediately, like, with a real magic wand coming out from the bottom of spaceships, all of a sudden tingle, ding, everybody's, all the humans and all the plants and all those who swim, walk, talk, fly, and crawl, their kundalini or their brains or their spinal columns, their nervous systems, their intelligence systems will be touched in 2012. And the darkness will pass away, and the light will just be super bright, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be angels and extraterrestrials and beings of light and these butterfly beings mingling with the earth. And all the old shall pass away, and they will war no more. And all this stuff that we deal with here daily on planet Earth in the 3D dimension of wars here and there and fighting over oils and the price of gas and all this ridiculous and eating our brothers and sisters in things called restaurants and all kinds of atrocious behavior will pass away. So you need not even think about it now and fight over who's right and who's wrong. Just love one another. And that's what's going to happen in 2012.
What part in our evolution did the Pleiadians play?
Well, they're very controversial. Like humans, they've had a lot of evolutionary growth themselves, but they were one of a group of at least 12 other extraterrestrial colonizers that contributed their DNA to the upbringing of the human being that you see on planet Earth. And they've had their portion of guidance along the way. And there were times when there were various factions battling. There were wars in the heavens and the earth, good and bad, and various things. And all of the traits that the Pleiadians have had have been passed on to humans. And throughout history, you may have known some like Hercules and Atlas and Zeus and things in those mythological times. They weren't all necessarily perfect. They had their own temper and their own ways. And so on one level, you can say, well, the Pleiadians are here to rescue and help us, but they also helped us get in the mess that we're in.
Yes.
But they're evolving as well, and they're wanting to help at this time, and they are beings of help. But there are beings higher and greater even than them, from the great central suns of higher dimensions that are here to put them and all others on the proper course.
How about the Orions? What part have they played? Do you know?
Similar to the Pleiadians, there was once a time when people would never want to venture into the Orion's belt. They figured that nothing good ever came out of Orion. But that's not true at all. There are very high and special places and dimensions and qualities and beings that live in various dimensions of Orionis that have been of help to the Earth. They've been a little more loftier, but there are lots of beings from that dimension that have had a lot to do with planet Earth. And like the Pleiadians, you know, we're taking this group generally. It's like saying, well, what do you think of the Native American or the Jew or the African? What do you think of them? It's very hard to generalize about because they're all various levels of their evolutionary growth.
And so they contributed DNA to our human form as well as the Pleiadians.
Yes, they were involved in the colonization of Earth and of the creation of the human species as we know it.
Okay. I'm a longtime follower of Zachariah Sitchin's material and, you know, I know the story of them coming to Earth to mine gold and, of course, you know, needing to create slaves, if you will, to do the mining of the gold. And so, you know, they began biogenetically engineering Homo sapien. Well, actually, it would have been Cro-Magnon. And then, of course, Homo sapien came from that. But the Homo sapien, us, being the missing link, and that we came, we're a direct result of the genetic engineering with Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal. And then we came, so we're the after effects of what they came here to do. Can you talk a little bit about why our Earth was so put to sleep?
Now, I thought you said you didn't know anything about this.
Well,
I mean, that was a wonderful exposition.
I know a little, but I know that you know a whole lot more, and what you really know about is the Knights Templar and the Masons, but, you know, this is such a fascinating, to me, a fascinating topic. You know, this is where we came from, and our ascent to move up and out of slavery because, you know, we were created as slaves and in so many respects, we're still treated as slaves and it doesn't look that way. We have a government that is very, very adept at making us see everything but the truth. So we think that we're very free and certainly not living in any kind of slavery yet. You know, we could probably, the three of us, sit here and talk for 2 hours about the way we are enslaved, the IRS not being the least. So in too many ways, So, but I'd really like to talk about our ascent up and out of that. It's been a long incline, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It sure has. It's been a wonderful ride.
I like the way you say that. It's been a wonderful ride.
Like, I don't know how many people have gone to Disneyland or these places like that and ride on those roller coasters. They have all kinds of them nowadays. You can go on your Star roller coasters. You can go in water roller coasters. You can go straight up and straight down. And you know, there's really wild roller coasters out there. Not that I'm a fan of them or advise people to go on them, but it gives you an idea of what there is available. It's planet Earth is like one wild roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
And you get all kinds of things. Like, we were recently at Disneyland, and they have a new kingdom there called Animal Kingdom. And they have parks built on the various exotic themes of the world, like the Kathmandu from the Himalayas and India and Africa and Egypt. And we thought, oh, well, we've been to the real places. You know, we don't need to go around there. We've seen the real places. But it was nice for in 1 hour to be able to go around all the different places. And they have this one roller coaster ride that Moira and I both went on. There we were riding up on the very top. And that was the most famous ride of all. And the very top, the highest thing you could see from all around the park, high up in the Himalayas. Now, the most fantastic thing that for them, people going to this ride scenario, was to see a snowman of, what do they call those white, hairy snowmen, white?
The abominable snowman.
Yes, the abominable snowman was up there waiting for everybody that was taking the roller coaster ride to scare them as they were going through the tunnels. And, oh, we don't want to be scared. Really, the real ride, going to the real Himalayas and meeting with the masters and learning about the true inner nature of the self, is far greater than going to amusement parks. But there's a difference between East and West. When you go to the real Himalayas, you go supposedly in search of the self. Some go to find a teacher who can help them find that. Others can go on their own and on the tracks of other sages and sadhus and begin to learn the ancient secrets of the true self and meditating on the self. And the greatest things that come from these teachings is when you find the self, you give up the self. You're not really the self. It's not the gain. Life is not something you gain for the self, but rather it's the contribution of life together as one family, pulling together for planet Earth. And all across our travels on this beautiful planet, India and Africa, Mexico, in Asia, we find, in Europe, in Scotland, we find beautiful people who are wishing for peace on Earth, people who have been working for it for centuries, whose families have been working on it, whose teachers and gurus and rishis and beings of all different dimensions are rooting now for planet Earth. This is her time, like you, doing something tangible that others can gather around. See how we can help the planet.
There is an event before I came to America. I was praying and I was meditating, and when I was still asleep, but my intuition told me I was sitting by a stream coming under a bridge, and I was sitting by the water. And I felt a being from my right side, coming over my back. And then he put his hand, right hand on my head, and then put it on my shoulders and told me, "Don't worry, my dear. We will always be with you." And I was looking at his feet, big feet, but I dare not look at his face because I know he had a beautiful soul and light that I cannot really look up with my real eyes. And the master said, "Don't worry, my dear. We will always be behind you." And from then on, I know that every day before I go to sleep and I pray. And when I wake up, I pray again and thank God as God for their beingness, for helping people, for letting us know what's the next step to take. There should be no fear of anything that we are supposed to do. So we are now here, and we are supposed to be having something that we like to do very much. And I always tell my children, if you like to do something that you like to do very much, that is what you should to do. You need to do. If you want to paint, then you paint. If you want to sew, then you sew. If you want to make so many different things, then you do it. Then you are happy and joyful because you're doing something you love to do very much, isn't it? So
yeah.
So there will be no sadness or anger or ill will. Everybody will be joyful and happy and smiling. And so I cannot be caught by my children that I'm angry and smacking them. I don't do that to my children because I tell them, "What do you want to do today?" And I tell them, "Yeah, you can do what you want to do." When they say they want to do something, as long as they are not negative, they will not want to do something negative. So all my children, they grew up in such a way that they know what their mother tells them, that when they are quarreling and I say, what is wrong today? Why are you quarreling? And then the other one say, "Oh, because he did this and did that." And then what did you do? And I said, "Did you really do it?" "No, I'm sorry." "All right." Tell them I'm sorry. Then the other one will say, "I'm sorry." And then I let them hug and kiss each other before they go to school. So there is no anger. I taught my children that there should be no anger. They have to forgive and forget. And that is how they grew up. So there are beings in the inner earth and there are beings on the outer earth. The beings in the inner earth have come from the vision of love and compassion, and then they can go out on the outer earth when the outer earth people are also loving and caring and sharing. And that's the prayer that I always say. I pray to the mother, to the Holy Mother, O most holy mother of all men and women, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with us. And I talk to all the women that I meet, if they are willing to pray to the Holy Mother. You don't have to pray and take so much time. You just say, "Oh, Holy Mother, I love you." And then they go to sleep. And then they have children. They tell them also what love is about. Loving is a spontaneous giving without expecting anything in return. And that is how that is how Dr. Raja and I work together. That when you are from the heavens or whatever is the beautiful way, place where we come from, we are together. We are twin flames. We are one.
Yes, you are.
When we came to the planet, we had to be two because we are two. And then we love each other and care for each other. But when we do this for the planet, for the galaxy, for the beings of all the other galaxies, of the other planets, of the universe, and the whole omniverse, thinking and believing in that, then that really happens, that there be peace and love in the world. And when I'm thinking of this president, I say, forgive him, because he's still on that level of consciousness.
Yes,
so we can forgive them. And in that level of, they will realize what he did. And then he will step on the other level, which is a higher level of loving and giving.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now, I'm very much in agreement with you. We need to forgive him. We need to wrap him in love. But do you think that there's anything that we need to do to help him get moved out of that office? You know, right now, Moira, they are calling for an impeachment. It's all over the web. They want to impeach Bush and Cheney both. Do you think that we need to do something, or should we just turn away from what he's doing and stay focused on what we want to create in our own life and not worry about him? How should we approach this situation?
Well, you're correct. When I pray that they realize what they're doing. Now, if in this lifetime he does not realize it, it will be done in the next lifetime, because he will realize after he is president, and then they know he knows that he had a war and people were killed, so many beings were killed. He knows that he was responsible for that.
And the American governmental system is a great gift to this earth. And it has all these checks and balances in it so that it can come out right if we had true people running the government. But unfortunately, we've got a lot of robots that are just following the other and doing what they're told. And they're not really following the dictates of the people or the guidance of their heart. But yes, absolutely, of course, I would say the truth of impeachment for both of them, and a complete turning over for war crimes and all sorts of things. I'm a firm believer. We all know what they've done and what forces they've conspired with and what they've blown up and what they haven't blown up and who they're trying to blame it on. Not to say that there isn't an enemy out there that doesn't like the United States and what it stands for and how it governs its people and what its motives are on the planet Earth. There are negative forces out there, and they are over there in the world where Iran and Iraq is. But that doesn't mean that we need to start blowing things to smithereens. These are old animosities that have been lingering since the time of Atlantis. And these people are all these different Earthlings from Iran to Iraq to China to Russia. They all represent various factions of extraterrestrials, if you will, various factions of colonizations, various levels of DNA of various extraterrestrials when they created the Earth. And all of the, you might say, all of this war and all of this evolutionary scheme together is destiny, and how it plays out is destiny. But those great seers who can see everything, omnipotent, omnipresent, they can see everything. They can see past, present, and future. They know what the future of the Earth is: peace on Earth and goodwill to all life forms. But getting there is
been a booger bear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it has. It's been a booger bear to get there. I mean, what I'm the most aware of is my own life and what I'm born into and the dysfunction and, growing and learning and changing, all of that, right down to the minutest detail in the way we raise our children. I love what Moira said. I don't slap my kids. I ask them, what do you want? What do you need? What do you want to do today? And, you know, just even in those changes, I'm born and raised, and I think this is the greatest benchmark of all. I'm born and raised in a family that believed in, you know, that if you spared the rod, you spoiled the child. And that's real okay. I mean, I don't hold any grievance against them because I understand that they had to come into this life and live it according to their karma and, you know, what they were taught, and that I was born to them to learn to break those bonds with my own children, and then finally, you know, my children's children, and things will be so absolutely different than they were. Raj, you'll probably agree with me that, you know, back in the 50s, you wouldn't have found the kind of information that we're putting out today, and you wouldn't have heard parents saying, well, I'm joining a support group and I'm learning better ways to parent my children. You know, they knocked the heck out of you and sent you to your room, and that's how it was. But today things have drastically changed. So, and look at us, just as adults now, look how we deal with our issues when something comes up in our life that doesn't feel good. Immediately we go after looking at what is being mirrored to us, what thing is up for change and balance within our own body. So, you know, I see a great change. But at the same, no, I don't want to say but, I want to say and. At the same time, there are times when I sit back, I mean, I'm just being honest, just being, you know, a human being. I sit back and I put my forehead in my hands and I think, you know, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to make this easier or to move through this? Or what do I need to do to help others to find a faster way to move out of their problems? I mean, it seems like the old stuff goes away and we get new stuff to replace it, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, that's very true.
And, you know, it does. It is easier. I know things today that I didn't know 35 years ago. Things that, you know, when something in my life comes up that I have to deal with, I have wonderful ways today of dealing. I don't, you know, I don't get into fear or anger, or I don't go drink too much and drive and, you know, throw things around or holler and yell at people. Today I do mantra and I lay down and I meditate and I burn incense or I write about something. You know, I have a totally different list of skills. You know, my toolbox has things in it now other than a rubber mallet and a butter knife.
That's beautiful.
I think what we should do, it's a quarter of nine, let's take a few minutes break. I'll give a little shout out here to my engineers and let them know that we're going to take a few minutes break. You folks out there in listening land, listen, this gives you the opportunity to go get a drink. You can use the potty room. You can call your friends and say, hey, you better get on www.bbsradio.com because the Star Doves are on with Dr. Rain tonight, and they're talking about the ET missions and theosophy and all of the other stuff, ascension and, you know, the real critical stuff that's going on Earth right now. And I want to remind you, if you would like to call in, give us a call at 877-270-8714. And also want to let you know that Dr. Sandra Rose is coming on at some point. That's one of the busiest people in the whole, she's a world traveler. And, you know, she's always out there letting people know about scalar energy and, a better way to heal the body. So she's busy, busy, but she will be calling in at some point tonight. So let's take a little break. Dawn, anybody out there that we can go to break now? Hey, and welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. This is Talk Truth Radio. And just in case you have forgotten how you're listening to us, we are 3WBBSradio.com. Please tell your friends. And listen, here's something very, very important for all of you out there in listening land. Our shows are all archived, and in the next couple of days, some of the fine points are going to be finished, and we're going to be able to go in and add a few things to the show, like naming them, stuff. They'll explain to me what I have to do, and then you will be able to go in and listen to any show anytime. So tell your friends, just because they work on Wednesday night from 7:30 to 10:30, they can still get our show when they get off the next day or that evening or the weekend. Hey, you can download it onto an MP3 player and listen to it as you are driving to work. So remember, we're archived. You can listen to our shows. And I know that the show that we are doing this evening with the wonderful Stardoves, Dr. Raja Merkdove and Professor Moira, Lady of the Sun Dove, two very, very special people to me. This show this evening, wonderful show. And can I just say thank you to the both of you for coming on? Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Oh, thank you for having us. It's wonderful fun.
And you're welcome. I want to move into another topic now, one that interests me greatly, the Knights Templar. This is something, let me just say it this way. When you sent out the Masonic Foundations of the United States, Part 1, I was glued to the Internet. I printed out everything. I have a thick file on what was printed out from that work. And I will tell you, people, go to the Stardoves, and if you want to see this and you haven't been on their list, you could request that they send this out again, because it literally is a fascinating study of the Masonic Foundations of the United States and about the Knights Templar. So let's start, Dr. Raja, let's start with the Knights Templar. Who were they? How did they get started, and what happened to them?
Well, you know, it was, thank you first for mentioning that wonderful work. It was a monumental effort of many.
Oh, I know it was.
And we found out so much ourselves. It's fascinating to go along and an earthling consciousness and operate as an earthling and sit at a computer and type away with your fingers and sit there in a human body and wonder about all these fascinating mysteries of the mind and spirit and other dimensions and realities, and then come to find out that there really was a group of beings who have been working with the ancient wisdom. And we know them today as the Masons and the Knights Templars in the West. There are many other groups in the east, eastern part of the earth, that have been keeping alive the ancient teachings. Masters of the Far East, masters of the human spirit, beings who came from other dimensions and lived during the time of Lemuria and Atlantis and Egypt and the Mayans, and they've stayed with us all this time, and they've helped. And when humankind made all the errors that they did, and when they were when they were, you might might say, attacked. The human race was attacked by a negative force. Just like now you have people telling you that the humans are being attacked by a negative force. They were attacked. The human population was attacked and their DNA was robbed and manipulated.
And who attacked and who robbed the DNA?
Well, these were negative aliens, beings from, like in the Sitchin novels, the Sitchin work, they're Niburians and beings that came from different dimensions. And in the Roman times, Romulus and Remus, and then there was, they have different names for the ones that they were, Enki and Loci. And various names, even the archangels and Satan, and all these are myths of negative beings that came and manipulated the planet Earth.
Okay. And our DNA was altered. As you said, we were robbed of our DNA because these beings didn't want us to know of our divinity. They didn't want us to be able to communicate with each other. They didn't want us to know what they were up to. So they stole from us, if you will, our ability to use our telepathic abilities.
Yes.
And they also took our mortality away from us. They put into our DNA illnesses and aging.
Absolutely correct. And we're just now gaining back the technology and the science of life, of light, and love, to understand how to gain back these powers or these missing links so that humans don't have to have diseases and death and decay and die. But the final enemy to overcome will be death. And people will die more. But the Masons and the Knights Templars, if you erase all the mystery and all the other parts of it, were beings that knew the truth about who humanity really was. And they were forced underground because, especially at that time, the Catholic religion was very powerful and strong, and they didn't want folks to get out. They were like some of the negative governments of today. They were all powerful and strong. And when they wanted to go to war and conquer another nation and steal everything they had, they did it in the name of God. But every religion has done that. It's gone, it's lost, and it's become a power-hungry, corrupt, perverted, crazy, unjust sloth.
Yes.
And that's for religions and governments. That's the way of the earth, because they're missing the link. They're missing the truth, and they're missing the love. Love and light. In the Garden of Eden, we talk about the serpent and the dove. Be ye therefore wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove, is a very wise biblical analogy of mixing the two extraterrestrial forces that are constantly going on in humanity: the wisdom, the truth, the knowledge, and love, and balancing the two. Is being therefore wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And the Masons and the Templars had these truths of the wisdom of the serpent. And the church and the governments at that time, King Philip, wanted to stamp them out, and did pretty much literally stamp them out as far as their power, overpowered to affect things on the planet. They had to go underground, and they had to keep these truths and these secrets. And then they had, like America that broke away from England, there's a lot more to it. And it broke away because of the power of various groups of people who used their talents and their money, including the connections to heavenly beings, to break away from a corrupt system of government, which was Great Britain. Now, Great Britain has never changed since America broke away from it. In fact, now they're entwined together and operating very much like Nazi Germany did when it was in total power. And, you know, when we look around, if you know, people who consider themselves Americans because they're they were children. They were born in this new country of America, and given the history of colonization, if we look around and see what the Spanish, what the French, the Dutch, the German, the English, the Americans have all done with their colonizations of the so-called third world countries, people with, who had less than they did, conquering them and taking them over and trying to implant their systems with their systems is a corrupt way of governing and stewardship of the earth. And this is not something that the Masons and the Knights Templars are backing, contrary to negative opinion. People are out there trying to fool even the very elect. And in this New Age world, we have so much to contend with that I see books out there now, like even from Barbara Han Trow, who is a great New Age author, recently.
Yeah, she's coming on the show next week, or June 6th, I think it is.
Oh, well, you might ask her. I read in her book just the other day, and I'm about to write a big thing about it, where she goes on and on about how Edgar Cayce was really a Masonic plant, a Mason with a negative agenda, the nefarious agenda of the Masons. And she goes on and on to attack them. And another author by William Bramley wrote Gods of Eden, goes on and on to attack them.
Yes, I know that book.
And also Saint Germain, and calls them devils and lies and evil beings. And another book called Stargate Conspiracy seeks to do the same thing. Now, I have great respect for Barbara Han Clow's work. She's written Pleiadian stories. She's written lots of wonderful work. She comes from a very wonderful Native American teaching, has a great publishing company. But I was shocked to see what she had to say about Edgar Cayce. I know Edgar Cayce and the work of the Association for Research and Enlightenment and their work in Egypt.
Sure.
There's so much going on now, and there's so much in these various books that are out against the Masons and the Knights Templars. It would take a whole lot of time to expose why that is and why we even have New Age teachers who agree with it and who are teaching the same thing. But I did notice that even in her book, Barbara Han Clow was saying, well, I'm not really well-versed in the Eastern teachings, so I can't really comment on them. But yet she's very strongly opinionated against Edgar Cayce and the Masons who got their teachings from the Eastern. Now, myself, having worked with and lived with a teacher of the Far East, with Swami Moira here, I've learned a lot about the East, and I know the ways of the East. And I've studied deeply the Masons and the Knights Templar, knowing that they got their wisdom from the East, and they're coming from a completely different level of understanding. And so there are groups, negative forces that are on the earth that are there to stop the work that the Masons and the Knights Templars are doing. But
so we still have today.
Pardon?
Still have today Knights Templar?
The Knights Templars still do operate today, but primarily the work that they're doing is influencing the social conditions of the planet. And there are Masons that are high-level politicians and business owners. And so, yes, they still do influence, but a lot of what's happened nowadays, even with the Masons and the Knights Templars, a lot of it has become corrupt, just like the Catholic religion and the Muslim religion and the New Age Christianity of born-again fundamentalism, where they go out and kill doctors who provide an abortion. They've become very perverted and crazed, and there's a lot of they have a lot of lodges, Masonic lodges, that have gone wayward and practice all kinds of ridiculous things. So there are negatives in everything. I'm not saying that this is the light of the world, and that we all have to become Masons and Knights Templars. We're not really for joining any particular organization. What I was reporting on and what I know is that the Masons really helped found the United States of America for a sacred purpose, for bringing peace on earth. That was the purpose. And they broke away from England, and they founded a new country whose ideal was to mix East with West. The Knights Templars went to the East and worked with the Muslims. That's the real secret. And they learned how to be assassins from the Chinese, the way of karate and all of these pulling masks over your face and going out and killing people at night for the government, CIA agents, spies, things like this. But they also learned the true ancient wisdom of the masters of the Far East, of immortality, of their wise sages of the Hindus, and of the wise teachers of King Solomon, the Jewish people, and the true teachings of the angels of light, and of the time of the New Jerusalem, when there would be peace on earth and goodwill to all life. And they worshiped this truth, and they fought for it. They gave their very life for it, for the truth of humanity. And they found a new country, and all those references that I gave to it on that article that you spoke about was just amazing.
Yes.
How we found how the founding of America, including in so many places that we were traveling, we were living this. In Jamestown, now the Queen of England was just in Jamestown, you know, last month, for celebration of America's 400th anniversary, the founding of the United States of America, on the shores of Jamestown, and right there in Virginia, when they sailed up, and George Washington was elected the first president for a reason, and that there was a mysterious stranger working with Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, and we even went to Philadelphia, where I was born, for a reason. And we meditated in the Independence Hall and where the Liberty Bell was to find out, what is this America? What is it about? Land of the free, home of the brave. Is it just for a group of European colonizers? No, it's for the whole world. It's the Liberty Bell. Send me your poor and your distressed and your ill and your troubled. Send them to the shores of America. We will take care of them. Are we doing that now with Mexico?
No.
No.
Are we?
No, we're not. We're not.
No.
Now, I agree on orderly immigration and rule and law, but at the same time, I know we're one people and one heart, one spirit,
yeah,
one nation under God. Not, oh, there's borders and fences over here in this nation. That's not under God. No, we're one nation. The whole world, one planet under God.
Yeah.
But anyway, perhaps I may be bringing up a whole lot of different topics, but I was so happy to find those references that you told me you appreciated so much, where we found that there were beings that came to the Wishikokin, the being that came and initiated George Washington in the dead of winter, when this country was struggling on which way should it go and who should sign the Declaration of Independence. So when you ask me now, what should we do with George and Dick? Well, we should impeach them. They should be driven out of the country on a rail. The people should rise up and do something about it. If they're not going to let the Nancy Pelosi and the other guy, Henry, Democrats and the Republicans are all two parts of the same beast now. We have to get out of the system and do something good with it, like what happened to Al Gore. He couldn't win the presidency because he didn't have the power behind him. The power brokers wanted Bush so they could cram this junk that they've been doing the last 7 years down our throats. This was their plan. The forces of light had no champion and still doesn't. Even Al Gore, you look at him, he is a timber, a person of character who could have been a great champion, but he didn't have a chance. It's too corrupt. Look at Barack Obama. Even this guy, Louis Farrakhan, who hates the American system and the way that it's being governed now. The only thing I've ever heard him say that I agree with is they asked, is Barack Obama the hope of America? And he said, no, of course he's not. One black man about another. And I was shocked to hear him say that. And they asked him why. He said, because the American government and the system is strangled by a great beast. And no man, black or white, is going to come in and shake that beast off and set everything right. And I'm afraid he's right. But there will be a great force. And the force will be the people, Rain. You're right. I was so impassioned to see how passionate you were about doing something when you had your wonderful expo there in Phoenix. And we're still working with people and doing things from that expo. James Gillian, in fact, just today called us to make some arrangements that we're doing some work together for him.
You know, it's amazing that event went in so many directions. And, you know, one of these days I will tell the story of that event and I will tell what happened and the things that took place after the event was over. But tonight won't be that night. But I will say that that event was looked at as a failure because it was very royal. We had 18 royal speakers, yourselves, being part of that, and a wonderful group of people, but there wasn't enough people come through the door for it to make a huge profit for the person who, you know, was the money behind it. I was the producer, but I was not the financial sponsor. And that event, from their perspective, was meant to make money. Well, it didn't. But you know, Dr. Raj, that event is still being talked about two years and a couple of months later. Many grand things happened. I got to meet the two of you. I brought people together that are still today working together because of that event. That the event brought those people together, not me, but the event brought those people together. It had a life of its own, and it was a fabulous endeavor. And no matter what it developed into after the event was over, I would never change one thing about that. It was fabulous.
Yeah, it was a very wonderful, wonderful event. It truly was. It made a very indelible mark in history. And it was held at a very lovely place there at the Shriners Temple in Phoenix.
Yes. Yes, how apropos to hold it at the Shrine Auditorium. And you know, those people bent over backward for me to help
pull
that event off.
They did. They went out of their way for hospitality. And if you study their background, the Shriners are actually a part of a Masonic-type information as well. And what do these people do? They build hospitals for the sick.
Right.
And the children. They have to help children all the constantly. Get glasses, hearing aids.
And burn victims. And they take care of children that otherwise would not have the financial means to be cared for.
And what we're about to do now, we're here in the southern part of Florida, but we're about to go up in our motorhome up to Nova Scotia, where we're going to be doing some work at where the Knights Templars actually landed in Newfoundland, in Maine, in Rhode Island, and in Nova Scotia. And they actually built some fortifications there and some temples and some energetics that they did there. And, you know, more about the interesting aspects of America, thanks to the Masons, is that the cities were founded on, Washington, D.C. especially, was built in form of sacred geometrical principles.
Reading my mind. You know, that was my next part to this. I was going to say to you, okay, let's talk about the geometry involved in this.
Well, this is the saving grace of the planet and of the country's true purpose for being, because it was designed on a dimension and an energetic beyond and beyond the normal doings and happenings of man. They were designed with the spiritual energy for the sake of bringing peace on earth, goodwill, and the horn of plenty, abundance, and great light. The cities, the streets, the very purpose for its being, America, was designed.
We did a show last week with Herbert Bangs. Are you familiar with his work? Let me see. I'm looking for his book right now. I can probably lay my fingers on it. Yes, it is The Return of Sacred Architecture, The Golden Ratio, and The End of Modernism. He's a master architect. Are you familiar with this book?
No, I'm not, but it sounds wonderful. There's so many new and wonderful.
It is, and he gets deep into the spirituality of the sacred geometry of our buildings. And,
What was the title of the book?
The Return of Sacred Architecture.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Herbert Bangs, yeah, he, we have been honoring Inner Traditions Bear and Company. They have provided me for years and years with fabulous books and authors to interview on my show. And so we're really giving kudos to, I call it Inner Bear, Inner Traditions Bear and Company, who, you know, is Barbara Han Clow, Bear and Company. But yes, he was on. And, you know, Raj, I had not thought of this. When you look at these great buildings, the buildings that are on other continents, we have some here in the United States, but the great architecture is in Europe. And when you think about the way these buildings feel, and even the pyramids, when you think about the way that architecture feels, and then you look at the way buildings and homes are designed now, completely different. No power.
Yes, absolutely. And when you speak about that, then you've got to speak about one of the greatest buildings of all in sacred geometry, which is Roslyn Chapel in Scotland.
Yes.
And where we were and where we took our crystal skull and were initiated directly with Mark and Ian Sinclair family, and Mark and Andrea in their Scottish Knights Templars. And Mark is the Amarok, and we were there with these ancient beings whose family built the Roslyn Chapel. And Mark brought his crystal skull, and we set ours up there on the ancient altar. And right now the crystal skull is right here, and it's always next to the computer while I'm doing the work. And when we were first in the Roslyn Chapel, I have never been anywhere else that I got such a feeling except for the Great Pyramid in Egypt. And the Great Pyramid in Egypt was designed by extraterrestrials for various levels of energetic work with the planet Earth herself. Roslyn Chapel was also built by the Sinclair family, the founders of the Knights Templars, the Scottish Knights Templars, and the branch of active Templars that are going on in the United States now, and those that championed and carried on the Masonic traditions as well, built the Roslyn Chapel as with the energies of East and West, and of all of the pyramid and all the great pyramids and all of the great teachings of King Solomon were transferred into Europe, into the Roslyn Chapel, and prepared and ready for the New Jerusalem, which wasn't ready at that time. It was America. And then the Knights carried that over. And they, in fact, we even discovered a Knight's burial chamber, almost the exact the way we saw it when we were in Roslyn Chapel, in Jamestown, when we were there last year. And I talked to the archaeologists there about that, and they have no idea what it is or who it belongs to. But I know because I saw it. And I saw the same. They said, this is a grave of a knight, but we don't know any more than that. Right there it said that when I saw this knight's burial chamber in a chapel in Jamestown while I was doing archaeological research and meditation on the meaning of America. And then
how cool was that?
Because recently our mission was just deployed to Scotland at Roslyn Chapel, and my attention is brought to the burial sites of several knights of the Sinclair family who buried a treasure right on there. And here I am, 2 years later, being deployed by the mission to Jamestown, and I see the very same knight emblem, burial, an unknown knight buried here. And here, where is this here? It's in Jamestown, the small chapel where America was founded. And that knight, all that could be remembered was that he gave his life for liberty and justice of America. And then we discovered all of these, Captain John Smith and the connection with Pocahontas and what the deeper meanings really were about building bridges between the Native Americans. If the Native Americans hadn't accepted John Smith at that time with open arms, there would have been no America as we know it now. The Native Americans are deserve a lot more than what they're getting from this present.
Boy. Yeah, that's in their whole show subject, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. There's so much.
Unbelievable. I would like to talk about the Sacred Assembly of Men. On your in your work, and there's so much to talk about. One of the little divots that you can make is you can click on. Let me see, what did I click on here? I went to the Watch Unto Prayer, the Sacred Assembly of Men. It explains the Kabbalistic interpretations of Solomon's Temple, the furniture of the Holy of Holies. And I'd like to talk about that. I think that's worthy of talking about. There is a tremendous obelisk, and I think that you should just give us a little overview of the Sacred Assembly of Men.
Well, I'm not really sure that I'm completely familiar with what you're speaking of there. It must have been something that I turned up research, but I'm not really familiar with exactly.
Okay, it's the history of the Washington Monument. It gives the story of the 555-foot obelisk, and it's acclaimed as one of the world's tallest masonry structures and Washington's foremost landmark. Few of the Christian men attending the Sacred Assembly would understand the religious significance of the obelisk, which historically was an object of heathen worship. And I thought this is good stuff here.
Yes, now I brought up all kinds of things like this and put it down for people to know, but I didn't have time to read all of it. These things are fascinating when we really discover the roots of America and why that obelisk was brought from Egypt and placed in Washington, D.C. People cannot possibly think that such a monumental effort and task was done just for the heck of it.
Absolutely. You go on to say, a book published by the Freemasons titled Obelisks provides detailed information on the Babylonian origins of masonry and many ancient obelisks around the world. Two of these were removed from Egypt a few years prior to the completion of the Washington Monument. One was placed in London in 1878 and the other in New York in 1880. The Smithsonian article alludes to the fact that monument building runs against America's, now this is funny, monument building runs against America's democratic and puritanical grain and vilifies the Know-Nothing Party, which intensely sought to contravene the building of the Washington Monument. It may be that this operation was generated by Christian extremists who understood the symbolism of the obelisk and the occult character of the secret society which financed its construction. That's amazing. Here we have this monument that people have no idea what's behind this building. There also seems to have been considerable opposition to a block of marble donated by the Pope. A Catholic predilection of obelisks is documented in Woodrow's Babylon Mystery Religion, Ancient and Modern, which explains the origin and also the significance of obelisks as follows. And I think I have to read this. Give me a minute here. Among the ancient nations, not only were statues of gods and goddesses in human form made, other objects with a hidden or mystery meaning, such as obelisks, which were a part of heathen worship. Diodorus spoke of an obelisk 130 feet high that was erected by Queen Semiramis in Babylon. The Bible mentions an obelisk-type image approximately 9 feet in breadth and 90 feet high. The people fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up in Babylon. And that's Daniel. That's Daniel 3, 1 through 7. But it was in Egypt, an early stronghold of the mystery religion, that the use of the obelisk was best known. Many of these obelisks are still in Egypt, but some have been removed to other nations. And, of course, one is in Central Park in New York, and another is in London, and one is in Rome. Placing an obelisk at the entrance of a heathen temple was, apparently, not an uncommon practice at the time. One stood at the entrance of the temple of, and another in front of the temple of Hathor and the abode of Horus. Now, okay, doesn't this just blow you away because it is a phallic symbol?
Yes.
And it comes from pagan days.
Well, yes, in that sense, as it became known as a phallic symbol, but basically what the monuments were the antennas, and they were antennas for the various stars and planets, and also they were wayward symbols for starships to come. Much like the Nazca lines were antenna and directionary maps for starships to come in. So were the monuments, the obelisks. They all related to the various extraterrestrial cultures that preceded them. And that's why they were always at the front of the temple, because it was like, boom, that became electrified by the ship or the deity, and that energy would touch the tip of the obelisk and go down into the ground under the temple and electrify the whole temple, who were sitting in there. Instead of listening to a preacher give a sermon, they were sitting in meditation, receiving the light vibrations that the obelisk was translating to them from the ships and from the deities that would communicate with the obelisk. And this is one of the secret knowledge that the Masons knew about. But
yeah,
the predominating religions and governments wasn't going to let them do this openly. They had to do this all behind the scenes. But they are the real founding fathers. They are the real founding roots of America as we know it now. Not earlier when it was Atlantis, and then when the Native Americans were there with the various pyramid building that were going on. And then the Americans came as a colony, and they came from Europe, the Mason and the Knights Templar. And that's why the Native Americans don't particularly like Masons, because you know, now all of a sudden this another group came to America and conquered the Native Americans, but it wasn't the Masons that did that. It wasn't the ones that, like the Quakers who practiced brotherly love. It were other groups of beings. And the whole condition of the planet Earth are beings going from one continent to one village to the next and bringing their ways and trying to do something. And I tell you truly that the Masons and the Knights Templars, the true good ones, and the reason why they were formed was to help bring peace on Earth and the hidden knowledge and to awaken and enlighten humanity and initiate them to this part that's upon us. That's why. Now, I have every great deal of respect for inner traditions and for the wonderful books that they put out. They're putting out such great book, innertraditions.com, great New Age book. And they did buy out Barron Company, which was a an imprint that they own now that was once owned by Barbara Hand Clough.
Yes,
Wonderful book they did. When I was in Scotland, I was given, my guide said, now we want you to go to Finnhorn and go to a little bookstore there and get one book on the coming Earth changes for research purpose, because we want to tell you something that you can only find once your Earth mind has been immersed in this particular study. And that book was Catastrophobia by Barbara Hand Clough.
Right.
So,
I interviewed her.
Studying all that. Pardon?
I interviewed her when that book came out, Catastrophobia, yes.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yes, I did.
It's a wonderful book. But then again, that's also where I found that part about Edgar Cayce, which I'm in total disagreement about. But, you know, the thing about the Age of Aquarius is that we can all have disagreements and still come to an understanding and in a peaceful way. But I believe that that's one of the reasons why Barbara Hand Clough took such time to mention that about Edgar Cayce in her book, was because the Native Americans don't get along with the Masonic tradition for America, because they came with, you know, the president, and they came and look what they did in South Dakota. You know, what most regular American people think, oh, hooray for the great monument in South Dakota, where they carved, even as a boy growing up, I thought that was a wonderful feat to see Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and Teddy Roosevelt and whoever else is on that, in South Dakota. But the Native Americans don't like that. That was a complete desecration of their sacred
mountains. Their mountains.
Yes.
Of course it was.
Yeah, so they stuck the faces of the presidents in the sacred temples of the Native Americans, which is the woods. That's their temple. And so it was an atrocity. But it wasn't the goodly Masons, and the ones who wanted to have peace on Earth and everybody get along. They came here and they used the confederation of the Iroquois Confederacy for the Constitution of the United States of America. The Indians more or less taught the America as we know it now how to have a constitution. It was a Native American inspired document. So we should be working hand in hand with our Native brothers and sisters, just as we should with our Native Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus. We're all from the same Holy Mother, Father, Goddess, God system. Even though there are many mansions in my father's house, there's many planets.
Right.
England,
right.
We're still all one big family.
I have so enjoyed having you on my show this evening. Do you want to go on a little while longer, or would you like to set a date and come back on when we can get even deeper into what we've been talking about this evening?
Well, we would love to come back on again with you, Dr. Rain. It would be wonderful.
All right. How's Moira doing? Is it getting bedtime?
No.
Are the two of you late night people?
Yes.
And early morning
wake up too. 5 o'clock.
We're around the clock.
You can stay. I guess so. I go to bed kind of early. I'm a very early riser, and so 8:30, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, I'm starting to get sleepy. So we can continue on if you would like to.
Yes, There's one thing that I was thinking about. And
okay.
The people who are white and who are black. And there is such a great difference between the two that people don't understand. And so I was going to tell some stories about. Yeah, I'm when I pray.
I'd love to have you do that.
Okay. So when I pray, I always think of people. Why are the black and the whites became together in a country, in many countries, but especially in America, because of this, the place where it started and is now being under the rule of different people. So when I pray, I pray to the Holy Mother, the Holy Mother prayers, and I feel that we should not be trying to say why are the black people are such and such and the white people are such and such. So when the prayer, I feel that there should be no difference in colors and the way of life of people, that there be love all the time, and loving is a spontaneous giving without saying different things. People is black and white and brown. So there should be no difference in beliefs and colors.
I think we should have some purple people, don't you?
Yeah. The last time we had purple people, they were purple people eaters.
Yes, I think we should have some purple people eaters. That's right. I remember that song. I think we should have some blue people. I think we need some new colors. We have certainly picked on the black people, and they're not really black. They're more kind of chocolate looking. And we've certainly picked on the red man. We've had our day with the yellow people. We need new colors. We're running out of people to hate.
So,
or maybe if we run out, we'll just have to start loving everybody.
Yes. I have so many poems and prayers that I know I memorized because I did that prayer from when I was 16 and I started doing that. So I have those prayers. If you want copies, we can send you some copies.
Oh, I would love to have it. I would, yes, absolutely. I would love that.
So,
go ahead.
So, and when you have questions like that, you can write us, and I'm going to give you copies of those prayers.
That would be so very wonderful.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
I'm a member of the Theosophical Society, and that society has given so many important beliefs and prayers without discrimination, that we can all be loving and working together, praying together.
In fact, Moira has a spot, a blog spot, where all her prayers are at. If I can give that address.
I would love to have you give that address. Go right ahead.
Okay, that's Moira, MOI-RA. blogspot.com.
Give that address one more time.
I was going to ask you to give it so that your language might be different than mine. Did you get it?
I think no. Say it again. And I've got Dr. Sandra Rose on another line. So I'm going to have, we're going to go to break in just a couple of minutes, and I'm going to have the station try and get her so we can bring her on with us. So I'm going to ask her to hang up on my line, and we'll go to break for a minute, and I'll give them the phone number to call. And did you get all that, Sagra? Okay, hang the phone up. This is phenomenal, having all these different ways to communicate. You know, one phone is ringing and we're on the live on the internet. Okay, now give the address again and I'll write it down.
Moira's blog is moira.blogspot.com. And she has all her teachings given in a synopsis there from Theosophy.
Okay, moira dot blogspot, blogspot .com. Okay. All right, now can I ask you guys to sit tight and we will get a hold of our engineers there. We'll take a couple of minute break again, give you guys a chance to go get something to drink, stretch your legs, take a little couple of minute break here, and we'll be back. We'll have Dr. Sandra Rose on, and you know she always throws some interesting stuff in, and I know she's looking forward to talking with the both of you. So, Dawn, somebody, can we go to break for a moment? Hey there. Welcome back.
And aloha.
Thanks for staying. How are you?
I've finally made it on.
You've been trying and trying.
Yes, I tried and it didn't work.
Well, hey. You missed a fabulous show, as you know.
I got to hear some of it over the computer. I got that
cool
to work.
Well, you know we have the Stardubs on, and you know Dr. Raja and Professor
yeah,
Moira, don't
years
you?
Years and years.
Yeah. Say hi, you guys.
Hey, are we all on?
Hello, Dr. Sandra. Nice to be on with you again. A wonderful
hey,
time.
Hey, aloha from Hawaii.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
You know, we have Hawaiian names. When we were in Hawaii, we were both given Hawaiian names. And I know you know what those... Moira was given the name Malama Lama.
Uh-huh.
And I was given
Maka
Maka.
Special care. Maka Maka?
Yeah!
Maka Maka!
I forget what it means now, but I bet Dr. Sandra knows.
Do you know?
Yeah, Malka is like the mountains. Was it Malka or Maka?
Maka. Maka Maka.
So are those is that the mountains? Is that what that means?
Yeah, which represents manifestation.
Manifestation. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't speak Hawaiian, and I just can't help with this. I do not know what those words mean.
Yeah,
Moira
really
was Malama Lama.
Bringing heaven to earth. And Malama, you know, like in Malama Pono means to, you know, take right care. Malama means to take, and Malama Lama would be to take very, very good care of others, you know, or one that takes care.
Yeah.
Well, she does that, doesn't she?
Uh-huh.
That's very nice. Well, finally, welcome. I'm glad that you've joined us. We've had a wonderful, enlightening conversation about the ET mission of light, you know, the extraterrestrials that are here and their mission to help us. And we've been talking about Theosophy and the Knights Templar and Masons and bringing peace to this earth. It's really been quite a wonderful conversation tonight. And I know that that's what you are all about with the scalar energy. And, you know, Dr. Sandra Rose has something running. Do we have something running right now over Stardust?
Do we have something running over Stardust?
Yeah. Are we sending something out over Stardust about...
Yes, we sent out an announcement about your show.
Yes, we
know. I don't think so.
Yes, we can. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I think we're having technical difficulties.
Absolutely. We can hear you, and for the folks out there... Well, I don't know. I don't have...
Why don't I let you continue with Stardust, because that was working.
Okay. We have a little technical difficulty there, folks. We were trying to decide who could hear what. They are implementing a new system so that the engineers can actually talk to the show host and not have it go out over the line. So if you folks were wondering what the heck was going on there, that was what was going on. They were talking to us, and we were trying to figure out if you could hear. So excuse us there. You know, we just have a few glitches that we have to work out. So, Sandra, did you want to talk about something with the Stardust, or did you want us to continue on?
I was thinking of, you know, you were having such a great program, you know, with them, and it's such a great opportunity for them to share their knowledge. I think maybe we'll let that continue for this week,
okay.
And I'll be seeing you soon in Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm excited
so
you're
I
coming.
Think we'll, we, I plan on we can... be able to do the next show on next Wednesday together.
That will be great.
I'll actually be in the same place with you. and maybe we'll have more of the technical glitches worked out by then. That would be a wonderful thing.
Yes, it would be. All right. Well, then we will say good evening to you and thank you for sponsoring this wonderful show. I don't know if we say this often enough, but Dr. Sandra Rose and Energy Enhancement System is the sponsor of this show. She makes it possible for you folks out there in listening land to be listening to us. So we should all say, give a great hand of applause. Here we are, only have one hand. And thanks so very much for making this possible.
Well,
yes.
And it is about generating, you know, generating these fields of consciousness for the planet. And I think I want to talk about Talk Truth and how the cells vibrate with that resonance of truth. And that is the power of our truth and how that is our power in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so thank you.
Thank you, and I will see you very soon.
I'd like to hear us.
She can hear you.
Oh, okay, because after that voice in our head came on, I wasn't sure if we were there.
I didn't get the voice in my head. I missed it.
This is a voice from the Pleiades. Can you hear us? I mean, very well. Everybody would have really loved it then, because it was from a voice from another place. But we want to thank Dr.
Like I said, I didn't get that voice. I was, like, missing it.
Oh.
I didn't know
what
was
going on. But we still don't know
on.
If Radio Land got it or not.
No, we don't know if Radio Land heard it. But what was it that you wanted to say to Dr.
We wanted to give Dr. Sandra some due praise for the wonderful work that she's been doing for many, many decades there as a beautiful shamaness priestess in Hawaii and the wonderful energy work she does.
I can hear you now, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The healing and the blessing work that Sandra gives is a wonderful ET goddess. And she has wonderful new energy machines, and she's doing a great work there in Hawaii, and we give her a wonderful applause for the great work that Dr. Sandra's doing, including this radio station.
Yeah, wonderful work around the world.
I got to have the voice in the head experience. That was very special. They shared.
So the voice in your head?
The voice in the head worked at this end for Hawaii, finally. Yes, it made it here.
Okay, yeah. Well, you will be in person next week, so I know the show will be excellent.
Yeah, I think we'll have a lot to go over and catch up with. There's so many exciting things going on for the planet, and also I get more stories every day of the miracles, and that's really the juice that I live for, the miracles that are happening 24/7 all over the planet. Just got calls from the UK, and they're very, very excited about what they're experiencing with the technology there. And I got a call from Michigan today with just miracles for kids and people putting it putting it in a center for autistic kids in Pennsylvania. That's another one. We have a new system that's going in today in Toronto area. And Missouri is, there's a system going in Missouri, an EE system going in Missouri with Michael Brown. And so that will be in by this weekend. So exciting stuff happening.
The website address for these machines that you're creating now, Andra?
Yeah, EESystem.com. Like energy enhancement, EESystem.com. Yeah, because we haven't gotten to talk in a while.
No, we haven't.
Okay,
so you'll be on in person with me. We'll be live in my office next week doing the show.
Both of you?
I think we'll have some of our different different special doctors and system owners call in with some of their best stories. I think they will. I talked to Michigan today. I talked to Sarah DeVries, and she was telling me all these amazing stories that she's had, what people are experiencing, and that's what I just really love. And I had a wonderful doctor here last night. Maybe we'll have him on the show next week. This is a doctor that I've supported his work and followed his work for a long time, and it's Dr. Terry Shintani, who wrote a book called The Why Nai Diet. But he's a Harvard Medical School doctor that's really done the work as far as in the trenches with the Native Hawaiians and the indigenous people, and has done the studies showing the elimination of diabetes and things like that in the Native people, and really published the studies where, just magnificent work. I'd like to have him on the show maybe next week.
Okay. Well, just to let folks know out there, one of our guests next week will be Dr. Shoshana Margolin, and she's famous. She's been out there forever. She has two books out now, Let the Body Speak and Let the Body Ask. I'm sure you know about her. So she will be coming on, and so we're going to have a plethora of guests on next week for you to listen to. It'll be a fun show.
Okay.
It'll be a fun show, yes.
We'll see everybody next week. Aloha.
All right, sweetie, aloha.
And thank you, Stardust, for all your great work.
And thank you and bless you, dear one.
Love you.
All right. So next week's show should be a very good one. Let's get back to the Knights Templar and the Masons. going back to the Masons themselves, Dr. Raja, do you believe that there are two systems? What happened?
We're with you.
Okay. Do you believe that there are two separate systems within the Masons? A higher degree of Masons that the people in the lesser degrees know nothing about?
Well, absolutely, and the ones in the higher degrees are not really a part of the same group.
Okay, so that was what I wanted to get to earlier.
And each Masonic lodge has like at least three different temples or lodges or rooms, like a blue room, a green room, in a beginner's room, and only the highest initiates go to the higher degrees, and even in today's world, even they don't really know, they don't know anything about the masters and what the masters are doing. They're just like humans who have forgotten the roots and the truth of their religion. But is that not the truth in the case with most all your religions? Of course,
yes.
the Masonic ritual or craft or fellowship is not really a religion at all. They have one book that's kept at the center of their lodges, and that's the Holy Bible. So, I mean, their greatest enemy is the Catholic religion, and even most of the Baptist and the Episcopal, all the religious Christian religions detest Masonry because Masonry teaches old Masonry. This was a long time ago. Nowadays, they don't think anything about it, except unless you dig into the mystical roots of it. They don't like that because they think it's the devil. But that's because they've been misguided into thinking that the real knowledge of who human beings really are was one of the things that was separated in their DNA at the time of Adam and Eve, and then. So the religions came up with the story of the devil and the serpent cursing in the garden and cursing humanity and driving them out. And then they became full of evil and shameful and guilt. And they knew all of these things, whereas before they didn't know all of those things.
And that was the actual true meaning of the fall from grace, being thrown from the Garden of Eden, when we took in all of those belief systems that because we know that what we think and feel creates the nature of our reality. And when we started thinking and feeling about those kinds of things, we created the fall.
Yeah. And that's why that particular belief system is one particular type of belief system. It's different than the Native American belief system. So if you have wisdom people going around and they're teaching that, but they're still a part of this great colonial system that's overthrowing native systems, then of course the natives are going to resent anything having to do with those cultures, including Masonry, thinking that was negative too, when really there were some good brothers that came from Europe. There were some peaceful ones that wanted to come and extend the hand of peace to the native. And the Hopis are still looking for that one. And we say that one is one of those Knights Templars. And the prophecies are all there. And, but a lot of the Masons hold the American system of government in, disrepute, in distrust. Can you blame them? So of course, a teacher like Barbara Han Clow, who was deeply steeped in Native American, I believe her mother was a teacher, a grandmother, a great grandmother in the tribes, so they taught her. So it troubles me that some of the teachers of New Age teachings and some of the natives do not trust the Masons. And then I know for a fact that there is the negative Illuminati, which runs the different factions like the Skull and Bones, that both Kerry, a Democrat, and Bush, a Republican, in the same presidential election from the same secret party. And so whoever was, but the election was already an outcome. It was already, the last several elections have been planned and stolen. I don't know if anybody believes that or not, but it's true. And they've tried
what's
to prove
been
it.
Stolen.
Well, the votes have been rigged.
Oh, yes, okay.
Earlier we were explaining the football game that we're playing, you know, on planet Earth has been rigged. The dark forces are pulling all the strings right now. And until that blanket has been shook and all the fleas are out of the carpet, then we'll become a magic carpet again and we'll be able to fly. But right now we've got so many fleas in it that the magic carpet is not able to fly. It's been heavy.
I just want to let folks out there know, in case you're not aware, great Masons like and forming the Constitutional Committee, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was a past Grand Master of Pennsylvania. John Adams, Roger Sherman, Robert Livingston.
George Washington.
Yes, George Washington. Yes, yes.
Was a Grand Master.
Yes. These people were all masters in the Freemasonry. So, you know, the Freemasons were your founding forefathers. Now, the Columbian Lodge of the Order of the Illuminati was established in New York City in 1785. And I believe it's establishing members. The beginning members were Governor DeWitt Clinton and later Clinton Roosevelt. And, you know, I don't know who Charles Dana was, but I do know who Horace Greeley was. And then the year after they were formed, there was a lodge established in Virginia with Thomas Jefferson. Now, was Thomas Jefferson a member of the Illuminati?
Yes, but in those days, the Illuminati was good. It's only become when the various dark Bavarian factions took over the doings of the governments of the Earth that a Bavarian Illuminati became one world government of darkness versus the other one world, one heart, one soul, one mind of light, which is the light, illumination is all Illuminati. So how can that be bad? It's only through man's twisted ways that some of these things have become negative. And also, not only have the poor American Native Indian been given a bad shake, but so has the Jewish people for America, because it was Jewish money supporting the Masons and supporting Washington at the time of the very founding of this country. It was Jewish people with their banking system and their abilities to save money. That money was used to save the revolution. And so there were Jewish people, Hebrews, within the Masonic Foundation, the King Solomon Lodge. So they also, as well as the Native American, had a hand in the founding. And so too did the Islamic Brotherhood, because they were some of the teachings of the Sufis. And the kings and queens at that time, they're in the Taj Mahal, a very wonderful Islamic building in India. There were certainly very good leaders of the people in Islam at times. The true meaning of Islam is peace. As-salamu alaykum is peace be unto you. And also peace be unto you. This religion has wonderful things in it, just as the Jewish religion, the Hindu. Again, all of us, some wonderful teachers like to say that each religion is like one bead on the rosary. Every prayer can be prayed. And that's what the Age of Aquarius is treasuring them all. Even here as extraterrestrial ambassadors, we've gone beyond the need or the understanding to worship the entities and other beings. The light within is what we awaken and fan and share and bless. we don't have to get down on our hands and knees and beg some deity to help us out of a hard spot. Although it can work for those who need that. But we ourselves have statues of Mother Lakshmi and Lord Ganesh. That's an elephant.
Those are my two favorites. Yeah, my house is full of Mother Lakshmi and Lord Ganesh. For those of you that don't know, Lakshmi, the anthropomorphized principle of great wealth and abundance. Wealth is very feminine. And so in layman's terms, she's the goddess of abundance. And the elephant-headed god, Lord Ganesh, or the Ganesha, his symbol is the removal of all obstacles. So in my prosperity abundance classes, I teach a wonderful mantra, Om Gam Shreem Maha Lakshmi Ye Swaha. And that is to remove any obstacle that would stand in the way of you having great abundance. It's a Sanskrit mantra.
And now you know why you love the Stardoves E-list so much, because every mail that goes out, we personally utter the mantra and have Lord Ganesh remove all obstacles so it can get out to as many people as possible can see it, who's meant to see it. Remove all the various obstacles that exist out there in the internet for an email to be delivered. And you know
how wonderful. How wonderful.
Mother Lakshmi blessing each one so that the reader is blessed, the person placing the creative is blessed, and the outfit that is allowing the situation to be channeled through is blessed so it can continue to allow it to happen. And this way, Mother Lakshmi and Lord Ganesh, and then there's Merlin. Let's don't forget Merlin. We asked Merlin to throw a little stardust into the mix.
Ah. Now, I'm not doing that. Should I add that immediately?
Oh, absolutely. Every email that goes out, every single day, we're burning oils and incense in the background, and Lord Ganesh and Merlin and Mother Lakshmi are busy at work, blessing every client and every reader. Now, we got so popular and so blessed and so much activity coming from that we were blessed immensely, and we took a lot of New Age groups and authors and musicians with us to receive phenomenal results that we became booked up for so many months in advance. Now we're fully booked, 5 a day, 1 full month, every 5 days a week in advance before we can even take a new order. That's how booked we are. But that's a lot of competition nowadays. Not everybody is going to get the same fantastic result. You have to learn to be very creative with the right subject line. And you have to, and that's what, that is the real secret we found that makes it work, is the praying behind it when you send your email. Now, okay, that's it. And send it out, see what happens. Well, see what happens. My God. There's a million things that could happen. What we do is we pray each and every time with Lord Ganesh and Mother Lakshmi and Merlin. And for those who can't do it, we do it for all of them. For all of our readers, we want everybody to be blessed. We want the reader to get something from these emails that they will cherish and bless their life. And you won't believe the volumes of emails we get from people who just praise and cherish that work because it's blessed their individual life. And that's what it's all about. But then, of course, on planet Earth, you know, you've got all kinds of other factors figuring in that must be kept going correctly as well.
Yeah.
And to have that be a successful operation, we urge all of our people to understand, to have patience, and to be creative and to pray about it, because it's the invisible hand that is behind the internet is a phenomenal, amazing thing that is able to be more successful and more responsive to life and human will than life itself. The internet is an actual practice ground or another form of life, like another life in another dimension. So what you put out on the internet comes back much quicker than what you put out in your life. But both of them act on the same principle. And it can be tested through instant prayers to these beings. Maybe Mother Lakshmi isn't going to work for a Native American. He may need to pray to white buffalo calf woman. And the Hindu may need to pray to Krishna. And the Aquarian may not pray to anyone. Or he may have pictures of all the goddesses in a circle around them as they're doing the sacred work. And whichever one feels like taking on the responsibility can do the work. But, you know, the gods and goddesses have always told humans, know ye not that ye too are gods and goddesses? You don't need to pray to us. You have it all within you.
Have you ever noticed, I'm sure you have, that the Christians are the only religion that has no acceptance for the other religions?
And they also don't accept the body, the pleasures of the body.
And exactly. They don't
the
accept the physical
life.
Body.
And the joy
and,
of life.
And, yeah, pretty strange stuff. I think that if we get to a place in our life where we just accept everything and everybody as is, it is what it is, and we just love them for however it is.
Hallelujah. Joy to the world.
Uh-huh. You know, I have a beautiful poem that is written by a good friend of mine, Joyce Skyfire, and it's only a few words. Let me read this because I think it so sums up everything. It's called Reconciled Dichotomy, a creature of air at home in the sea, a desert being atop a snowy summit, polarities, exploring boundaries, find cages enslave, pushing limits, births freedom, as finally one and one becomes one. And I love that poem because it just sums up everything. We are all a microcosm of the macrocosm. We're each one of us a part of the other. If we don't have love between us, we have nothing.
Love is the connection for everybody.
It is. So let's get back for a minute. We only have a few minutes of the show left. I thank you, too, for coming on and doing the whole show with me. I know Sandra is probably worn out. She's probably traveled all over the world today, or maybe starting yesterday. But just kidding. But she does a tremendous amount of traveling and a tremendous amount of work, and she probably is thinking, "Yay, Stardust, going on there and just doing the whole show with Rain, and I don't have to do it." So I know she thanks you very much. Want to let you folks know out there, I have been a psychic healer for more than 30 years. And if you have need of me, my website is 3 W's, Dr. Rain Morgan, that's DrRainMorgan.com. I'm DrRainMorgan.com. And if you'd like to have a reading or a healing session with me, you can reach me. All of my contact info is in my website, and I would love to be of service, love to help you in any way I can. I've been practicing many healing techniques for many years now. So I will give you everything I've got. I'm not a very good fortune teller. I'm not really the one that you come to and say, am I going to get a new red Cadillac? But I am the person that you come to when you're not getting exactly what you want in life and you need to see what your blocks are and it's time to move on and experience the abundance of your desires and your dreams, then I'm good for that. So please go to my website, drrainmorgan.com. No period in there, just DrRainMorgan, drrainmorgan.com, and I'd love to talk with you. Stardove, please give the information, give the website and how to get a hold of you again.
Well, we're very thankful for the beautiful love and healing energy you're putting into the planet, Dr. Rain.
Thank you. Thank you.
We thank you for the show. It's been a wonderful show. You're doing wonderful work, and we do look forward to coming back, and we can work out a date when it's convenient for you.
Go ahead.
Our stardoves.com, that's our spiritual work that we do on the planet. That's our ET mission on Earth. Stardoves.com, and the as the Romans say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So while on Earth, we also have a business. It's called Marketing with the Stars.com, and the business is the light of the new age.
And I would love it. Now say that again before I say this. The business is what?
Spreading the light of the new age.
Spreading the light of the new age.
That's what our business, marketingwiththestars.com, because what we do is we help everybody out there in radio land who has something good for the planet and you'd like to market it, or you have a website, or you're doing teachings, or you have a book or a CD. We help you market it to people that are sitting out there on the edge of their seats, waiting to see what you have for them. We send more New Age centers, holistic-like centers, individual buyers, retailers, wholesalers, distributors, publishers, entrepreneurs, promoters. All of them have been or on our list one time or another, and will continue to be. We've got lots of new surprises. We have emails with voice and pictures, and regular emails that you see that are like advertisements or announcements. We call them creatives. And our email address, if you'd like to email us for more information, is ra@stardoves.com, and you can always call us on the telephone at 505-770-5426. That's 505-770-5426, stardoves.com, and marketingwiththestars.com. Blessings.
And you folks have just had everybody cross your path. I think it's wonderful. I'm telling you, people, if you want to see who is moving and shaking out there, who's got new music, new books, new services, healing techniques, radio shows, what else? Everything. What else has come across? What did I leave out?
Everything that everybody and everything that has something to do with the new age has probably been filtered through our systems, even if they haven't directly, perhaps they're a publisher or a promoter of their show or something, has advertised what they're doing. Everything conceivable that people in the age of Aquarius are putting out, not everything, but 90% perhaps, something, maybe over 60. You know, when you think of all the stuff that's out there, maybe 60%. But I would say the latest and the greatest of what's happening on the planet and what we need to do about it and who's written a book about it and the secret about it and the greatest healing techniques and who's going to be on Larry King that's bringing in wonderful information like Dr. Deepak Chopra and all kinds of things pass through there. What's amazing about it, but what baffles even me, is how it continues to be a success, and there's continually groups of people out there who enjoy getting it. And people say, I saved one. If you ever need one, email me, because I've got every single email that you've sent in 9 years, Dr. Dove, I've had people tell me.
Oh, my goodness, that's a lot of emails.
Yeah, they're a better archive than we are.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot of emailing. And let me remind you folks that this show will be archived. So you'll be able to go to the front page, and it will tell you where to go for the archives. We have the most wonderful front page. The way this website is set up at thebbsradio.com, you can easily find anything that you're looking for. So, you know, if you have somebody that couldn't hear the show, have them go on the front page, pull it up, and it will take a couple of days for the show to be archived, but it will be up. You can download it on an MP3 and get our show to whoever you think might be interested. I want to thank you too so very much for coming on and doing this with me. And I'm going to shoot you an email and we'll set up the next date, because I didn't get to cover all that I wanted to. So I'm going to have you both on again.
You are a fantastic hostess.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So I send you both tonight with great thanks and gratitude and love and light. And stay strong and continue to carry the torch.
Yes, we are staying strong. Nobody gets old or gets sick or dies. We're all living. We're all be living, because God is God, is all alive everywhere.
Yeah.
Love is the most important part of life. Loving is a spontaneous giving without expecting anything in return.
And we remember our wonderful yogi friend that we met at the Phoenix event. The one, Dr. Sandra's favorite yogi too.
Oh yes, yes. The laughing yoga.
Yes, he encourages everyone to practice laughing yoga. And even
yes.
In your seat, you can put your hands down, your feet down, move around, do breaths, and laughing yoga. Ha ha ha! He says everything.
Yeah.
Laughing joyful. He's a
laugh. Laugh and love. I thank you both very much. And we'll be back again.
Yes.
Good night for now.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Atman namaste. I want to thank you all for staying with us. I know 3 hours of radio is quite some time, and we certainly put a lot of information out over the show or out over the airwaves tonight, so I want to thank you. I want to let you know that we're going to be doing a show coming up, another very, very important show with Raw Ed Utadi, and we are going to be talking about aromatherapy and essential oils, and we're going to be talking about the chakra system, and we will be talking about it in a completely different manner than most are accustomed to. So, most traditions, we think of the seventh chakra, the crown chakra, as being the highest and most spiritually advanced. But in the Egyptian teachings, it is not. It is the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. So if you would like to go to his website, let's see. I know it is Ra'ed Utadi. Ra'edutadi.com. And that's easy enough, isn't it? Go, and it's, let me spell it for you. It's Utadi. U-T-T-A-T-I. Utadi International. Now, there's a little story here. Ra'ed is, 8 generations of Egyptian medicinal oil makers. And for those of you who know about Young Living Oil, Ra'ed Utadi was the first partner of the Young Living and ended that relationship with Young Living because they went multi-level marketing, and that had to water down, if you will, the oils so greatly that because to sell them multi-level marketing, that Mr. Utadi said, I would no longer belong to this. So there's a little of the story behind Young Living. So if you want more information on Utati oils, just go to the website, utatiessential.com. You can find them. They are phenomenal, phenomenal oils. We'll be doing a story with them. Next week, Dr. Sandra Rose will be on with us, and we will also be having Ms. Margolin, and her name is Shoshana Margolin, and she has been in the body work for years and years. Let the body speak and let the body ask. And I don't even know who else is coming on. Sandra will give me a list of people and you'll just have to be surprised. So thank you all very much for being with us. Remember, my website is www.drrainmorgan.com, and I send you all love, light, and blessings. Thank you for being with me, and good night for now. We'll see you same station, same time, same day next week. Many blessings.
The talk radio you have just enjoyed is brought to you by Dr. Sandra Rose Michael and Energy Enhancement Systems. Have a very blessed week, and please join us next Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time when we return with more exciting talk. To find out more about the host and sponsor, visit drrainmorgan.com and energyenhancementsystems.com.